This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I preview week one's Chiefs-Cardinals matchup. But first, Joe, it was a weekend of reminiscence. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes were spotted last weekend at my alma mater, Pembroke Hill, taking in a football game. Pembroke Hill was playing Christ Prep, which is quarterbacked by TJ Cruz. He's the son of Ted Cruz, who's the head of Chiefs public relations, so that explains why they were there. But Joe, a million years ago when I played, or more accurately, sat on the bench for Pembroke. No, that's so true. Well, Joe, because I was slow and small, so they, of course, it was a small school. They stuck me on offensive line.
right? just the perfect combination, right, perfect Jeff? Slow right? and small.
If they don't know what to do with you, and they yeah. not sure you can really help. So, Joe, anyhow, so I chose, at the time, the jersey of who is the best Chiefs offensive lineman, John Alt's number 76. That was my jersey. And then you texted me, and I totally forgot about this. You know, the big game of the weekend, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and John Alt, Joe Alt, John Alt's son. I mean, a Joe and John, it gets very confusing there.
Yeah, definitely.
Joe Alt, the son of John Alt, wearing number 76, playing left tackle for Notre Dame. So all kinds of flashbacks.
All kinds.
My Jeff. Life, your life.
Yeah, it was great to text that when I saw Joe out there. And, you know, hey, maybe being roommates with John on the road, you know, and I inspired him to name his youngest son Joe, I guess. I don't know. All those years of friendship. But, John, you know, obviously a lot of athleticism running through that family. His son Mark played in the Flyers organization, was a draft pick in the NHL, and wasn't you know, like an All-American quarterback in high school, and, you know, decided to play hockey in college, and just super athletic. And Joe Alt's trajectory is a lot like John's. He was a guy that flip-flopped between tight end and tackle, just like John did, you know, before he went off to Iowa. And he just looks so athletic out there. I was watching him pretty much, you know, most of the game, and he's got great feet, man. I don't want to make any bold prediction. He's still relatively young, but I see the NFL in him. He's just the measurables, his feet, his hands, you know, he's got that DNA, got the mentality, and I could totally see him making it to the next level. He really has it already. So it'll be fun to watch him progress. And yeah, and seeing coaches out, Jeff, was always fun. Like, I know that, you know, when Brian Schottenheimer was playing at Blue Valley, and my wife and Jen, you know, my wife was right. teaching in the school district, we would always go check Brian's games out and go to those, you know, games when we could, and to see. And I know a lot of the players used to come out to see Brian and support Coach Schottenheimer and the family. And it was always fun to see the coaches coming out of those games. And like, it was like, oh my God, yeah, Coach Saunders would go, and, you know, some of the other coaches would join, you know, Marty with, you know, with at the game. So it was really fun. It is, you know, it's just the nice thing. It's the awesome thing about Kansas City. What a great community.
People were really buzzing about it, for sure. And it's neat, you know, Pembroke Hill is a very small school. They were like under 100 in the class private school. So, you know, for Mahomes and Reed to descend on it was a big deal. Joe, to follow up on a couple other points, Notre Dame has produced such good linemen of late. You know, Ronnie Stanley, both Martin Brothers, Quentin Nelson. That makes me even more. I mean, geez, I think they just churn out first round draft picks.
Yeah,
Alt's going to be one.
Let's not forget Tim Grunhard.
Well, right. I was talking a little bit more recent. But certainly, Grunhard is as good as it gets. And actually, speaking about that number, there was a more on that. My Pembroke Hill numbers. There was one of my friends who ended up going to Notre Dame, was a lineman, of course, chose 61 for Grunhard.
Nice. Now,
going into my senior year, I tore up my knee in the summer just playing football for fun. And I think that I was so off the team. I think somebody ended up wearing 76, but so I was like helping out with the team, and but 58 was available, Derek Thomas. So then I feel that might have been an upgrade.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And by the way, just not to backtrack, but Joe Walt is a true sophomore, right? Sophomore eligibility, sophomore in school. He's 6'7" and 5/8". They're getting very exact in program weight heights these days. So let's call him 6'7.5". Come on, let's round him up to 6'8", 317 pounds. I mean, he is a spitting image of his dad.
And starting
And
as a sophomore, yeah, his future is very bright.
yeah, he is going to he is going to be all right. And yeah, I'm really, really excited to see how that all plays out for John and the family. So that'll be really exciting if he can, God, wouldn't that be amazing if he could end up with the Chiefs?
Well, that would be a cool story. Well, we're actually going to break down Chiefs Cardinals because I'm sure listeners aren't tuning in to hear about my high school exploits or lack thereof. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Joe, I don't think it's appropriate for me covering the team for Forbes on the pod for you to bet on the Chiefs, but I did go to BetOnline to place a bet. The Commanders win total for the season under 8. What do you think of that bet?
I think that's a pretty safe bet. There's a lot of leftover sort of, I don't, it's a strong word, but bad feelings of Carson Wentz's time in Philadelphia. So there's a lot of doubt and lack of confidence in what Carson can do with that team. And they just, Washington just doesn't seem like they've done a whole lot to really improve their stake. And I just don't, I think it's a really good bet, Jeff. Actually, no offense, anybody who's pulling for the Commanders, but I just don't see them winning 8 games. Not in the NFC East, which has vastly improved. The Giants did a great job in the draft. The Eagles, I think, are actually going to win it. That's my
Me
bold
too,
prediction. I just don't think the Cowboys have done enough. And then the Cowboys are the Cowboys. They're still a very talented team. So yeah, there's I could see them not winning a game in the NFC East. So, there's 6 losses right there just with those 3 other teams. So it puts them behind the 8 ball right away.
yeah. Well, one of the cool storylines for the Chiefs Cardinals game in week one, Joe. It's like a quarterback coach reunion. Patrick Mahomes, of course, played for Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech. And Joe, he put up such prodigious stats during his 32 games at Texas Tech. He threw for 11,252 yards, 93 touchdowns, 29 interceptions, which is not many when you throw that much. But the team disappointed overall going just 16 and 21, which is probably why Mahomes even lasted till 10 instead of going, top three or whatever. Joe, do you think that helps Kingsbury at all that he knows Mahomes? Is that something that you've ever
I
heard of?
mean, other than the sort of mentor mentee head games that you could play, with somebody, the fact that, when Patrick looks over at the sideline, he's going to see the coach that, when he was an impressionable freshman in college or a senior coming out of high school, that was the coach that like took him under his wing. And other than that, I don't think from an X's and O's perspective, Jeff, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot that, the NFL game is so different. And while, Patrick was very, prolific in college, I don't think that I think the game is so different, you know, and the types of receiving patterns and different things that not that the patterns are different. They're pretty much there's only like 25 different patterns that you can run on a football field, but just the structure of the offense and sort of it's not really going to be something that, you know, he's going to look at Patrick out there and go, oh, he's going to do this, so do that. Like I don't think the chess game doesn't really translate. And especially it's been, you know, now what, 3 or 4 or 5 years since that, you know, since they were in that coach player relationship. But however, I don't want to downplay the mentor mentee head games that you can play with somebody when you've coached them, right? Think about like just the first thing that popped into my head, which is a little bit of a stretch for the analogy, is, you know, you think about like how Nick Saban, right? Last year was the first time one of his assistant coaches beat him, right? It was like, I think he was, don't even quote me on this. I'm lying when I say the number. I don't know. Wasn't it like 25-0 or
It was
something?
some
Again,
crazy
some
thing,
bizarre, you know, before he lost last year. And it was just like, I just don't, you know, I think it's, that's the, maybe the closest analogy I can say is there is some psychological factors to that, right? To that, I'm going to overuse this term, mentor mentee relationship. I mean, Coach Schottenheimer kind of had it with Coach Cower, you know, in that playoff game in 1993, for the 93 season. So, you know, there's just, it just, it will have a little bit of a factor, but I think once the ball's kicked, Patrick's not going to be thinking about that. He's got a job to do. He's got this new offense to run, and it's not a new offense, but it in some ways it is,
lot
right?
of
I
new
mean,
parts, yeah.
you know, and it's like the same engine just tuned differently, and maybe with a different set of wheels or something. But it's, you know, I'm the depth chart that came out. I mean, I wasn't surprised. I know a lot of people were making, you know, comments about Mecole Hardman's, you know, not on the starting depth chart. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to make a prediction. Maybe BetOnline will put this one out there for us. That he's probably going to start on the field for the game. I just have a very strange feeling, or not strange feeling. I have a good feeling that they're going to start in a three receiver set, you know, with Travis, Juju, MVS, and Mecole. So I think I don't think Michael. You know, while Michael Burton's listed in the starting depth chart is, you know, now listen, I. They might surprise us because that was one of the things we mentioned a few pods ago, is that in that opening drive
They
of the
used them a
first
lot.
preseason game,
Yeah.
you know, don't know whether that was a ploy of Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid, you know, typical head games and making coaches have to prepare for stuff. But I just have a really strong feeling that Mecole Hardman's going to be out there on the field when the game starts, or very soon after. So the Chiefs depth chart doesn't really mean a lot. I mean, it obviously tells you know, there's a couple of locks on there, right? The five offensive linemen, Travis, Patrick, and I'm assuming that Clyde will, you know, they're going to work him until he doesn't work. But I think, you know, from a receiving perspective, it's always tough to throw a depth chart out there, right? Because you're throwing different, you're going two receiver set, three receiver set. You know, so I don't think there's a controversy in there. It's still got to sting a little bit that McColl isn't number one, right? Coming, he's the only returning, you know, when you look at
Better
this
guy.
receiving
Yeah.
core, he's the only one, right? You got Justin Watson, Sky Moore, and him now is the air quote backups to MVS and Juju. So it's got to hurt a little bit. It's got to sting. So he's probably going to come out guns a-blazing to try to see if he can, you know, make a name and get himself back up into, you know, WR1 or WR2. I have a really good feeling that MVS is going to see a lot of snaps. I just think he's done so much this offseason, and I think, you know, we haven't seen enough of Juju to see, but he wasn't targeted much in that first game, and he didn't play in the next two. So, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. I think Sky Moore will make a name. And hey, let's get Justin in there. I got my Penn Quakers t-shirt on tonight, in support of Justin and making his you know, debut with the Chiefs. And I'm excited about that receiving core. So I'm reading into it is looking at the line. You know, I think, you know, obviously they got Nick Allegretti covering the inside, and then Jaron and Darian. And I just don't know if those two have done enough to really warrant a lot of confidence right now, that if Andrew Wiley or Orlando Brown go down, they're going to have to do some shuffling. And we talked about that already last week, so I won't beat that up anymore, because I think they'd have to bring Joe Tooney out to maybe tackle, like you had said. So
right.
that's the thing that's got me worried. A little bit of the depth part. You know, I'm super excited for this team to hit the field. Tired of the prognosticators.
I know, right?
I just want them to start playing football so we can start actually having some legitimate conversations about what teams are going to look like, because who the heck can make these judgments based on the preseason that we saw? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Speaking of, you were talking about offensive depth charts. That's going to a little fun fact for listeners, to something to look for on the Cardinals. Darrell Williams is now on the Cardinals, the former Chiefs running back. It'll be interesting to see how he's used. And then I have, before we get into the kind of the weeds of this game, another fun fact, Joe. A lot of people are going to be talking about this Kingsbury Mahomes matchup.
Mm-hmm.
The coach that Kingsbury took over for at Texas Tech, where he coached Mahomes, was Tommy Tuberville, who is now a senator in Alabama. He quit to become head coach at University of Cincinnati, opening the spot for Kingsbury, the former quarterback there. Joe, so how do you see this game shaking out? Bet Online has the Chiefs as 6-point favorites. How just what's your take on this game?
I think it's well, number one, I think that says a lot to be a road favorite,
yeah.
And not just evening the game out, right? You know, there's that old standby that, you know, you get 3 points for being the home team. I don't know who made that up, but it's like the general rule of thumb, right? That you're going to be a 3 point, you're going to get 3 points for being the home team. I mean, you take that right away from the Cardinals, and you know, you slap a 6 point, you know, favorite for a road team. I think that says a lot. That says a lot. I don't know why a lot of people are, you know, like down on them is a strong phrase, but like, it's just a lot of the, you know, the folks on the big media outlets are down on the Chiefs right now. And I don't know why. I mean, nobody's played anything yet. And you know, we saw how the season ended. So I don't know whether they're just overplaying the Tyreek Hill thing or what's sticking in their craw about this team. But you know, the offensive line is solid. They've made a ton of improvements on defense. They've got a completely new, revamped, very diverse wide receiving core of height, weight, speed, size, the whole nine yards. I just think I think we just need to let this game play. I would be right there, Jeff. I think the Chiefs win this game by a touchdown. I think if they can't get Clyde rolling, and the running back thing stalls a little bit, and they can't get some semblance of a running game going, it could slip down to a 3-point game, you know, where they win a tight one. But I think the Chiefs win this one, and I think it'll set the stage for this tough half of the beginning of the season for them that they have, right? Everybody's been talking about the historic toughest first half of a schedule ever in the NFL when you look at the win percentages of the teams that they're playing. So you know, it's going to set the tempo for this team. And the Cardinals are no slouch. I mean, Kyler Murray, you know, if he gets out there and plays well, if he's the Kyler Murray that we've seen flashes of, that, you know, earned that $230 million contract, they could, you know, could be a long day for a bunch of fresh new corners in there. I mean, that's, you know, I think that's the matchup that if I, you know, it's three matchups I've kind of wrote down. You know, it's JJ Watt, right? Obviously. And to see how he and Orlando just get after it, right? I'm sure they're going to just be getting after it. And then Marcus Golden, who, you know,
he's
got some sack power there, man. So, you know, we'll see how long it takes for Furious George. I love that new nickname, by the way. We're going to have to use that one a lot.
Karloftis. He's fun to watch because he's a young kid. He's so work focused. He doesn't talk, you know, he's not overly verbose. He certainly is not somebody who's braggadocious at all, but you could tell he lit up just a hair, you know, he just smiled a little bit.
Yeah.
Various George.
Yeah.
Joe, you know, it's fun when we do these previews. Typically, I think you have the Chiefs like winning by more than I'm like the naysayer, the pessimist. I actually think this one I have the Chiefs winning by more. I think they're going to actually win by a couple touchdowns.
Wow, nice. I don't know. I'm not going to argue with you there, but I just, you know.
So my thing is that, I think the 6-point line, I think they take that. I think the Cardinals are actually worse this year. They have DeAndre Hopkins is suspended, the best receiver, and their wide receiver core is pretty banged up, including your former boy, Zach Ertz. They lost Chandler Jones, who's really good and their best pass rusher. You mentioned Golden, and we of course know JJ Watt, how good he's been, that he comes off of a really bad injury from last year. So they still have options, but Chandler Jones is a huge loss. I just think the Chiefs are a lot better. I think the Cardinals will have some. I think the Chiefs secondary is so young early in the season, they're going to go through some struggles, and I think Murray will make some plays, but again, he's down a lot of wide receiver targets, including his best one. So I really like the Chiefs in this one.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you, but I really do. I love that they're a road favorite, and people are seeing through all the things that you said. They're seeing it, and it's very apparent to the people who are setting these lines, that the Cardinals are banged up. I think there's going to need to be a discipline to stopping Kyler Murray and not letting him win the game with his feet, because
Yeah, that's
you don't.
scary. That's
Don't want him to get rolling. And that's the thing, that when you've got, when you've got young corners, you want to make sure they're sticking to the coverage. You're going to have linebackers, when he starts to get back there in the pocket, and Willie Gay and Nick Bolton, and I know if they get into some kind of a 4-3, I know Leo's kind of bumped up there to the number one spot there as the third linebacker. But you have to have discipline, because when he starts to press the line of scrimmage, you see Patrick do it all the time. When linebackers, they go to their hook zone, right? Whether they're in a zone coverage or, some kind of man to man, they're going to get back to that, that what we call the hook curl area, right? Which is, like a lot of times you'll see linebackers, they kind of run like a karaoke run to, they'll drop back 3, 4, 5 yards from where they lined up, and they'll go on like a 45-degree angle, and they'll get into that what they call the hook curl area, if they're in zone. And obviously if they're in some kind of man, they'll be checking backs and receiver and tight ends out of the backfield. But if they get undisciplined and leave their areas in the coverage, and they start pressing, Kyler Murray could just dink and dunk down the field like the way that Patrick does, right? When he threatens the line of scrimmage and presses up on the line, you have to be disciplined, and you can't, falter from that. So we're gonna have to have a disciplined pass rush. We're gonna have to get pressure up the middle, come around the corner, get him from the outside, don't let him break contain. And it's gonna be, I think he's really, to me, he's kind of the key to the game. How we can stop. So those are, my sort of matchups that I want fans to like look at, is what are we gonna do on offense, to protect Patrick and against some pretty decent pass rushers, and with a right tackle in there that, I mean, obviously, we know that Andrew can get it done, but that's going to be the key right there. That matchup is what we can do in the pass rush, and then it's also going to be on the other side of the ball, what we can do to contain Kyler. And then my last matchup, it's not really a matchup, is what is Eric going to do with this running back committee,
Yeah, right. That's
and
great.
how does that all play out for this team? I just don't want to, I want them to be able to run the ball. They can't, it's critical to their success. So I think this is a very, very important game for them to try to establish the run, and to see who's going to sort of take the reins of this running game.
Joe, I love your key about especially Kyler Murray, because again, I think the Chiefs are the much better team here, and so it'd be on Kyler to do something really extraordinary, which he's capable of. He's a spectacular athlete, especially on the move. It's hard. That's got to be a tough thing in week one to prepare. It's always tough to prepare and contain a guy like that. But as we've talked about the preseason, it's not a lot of preparation. How do you prepare for Kyler Murray's Speed. So I think that's
Yeah.
the one challenge. I think, he could go for like a 100-yard game or something crazy, and that would tilt it more. I'm saying how the Chiefs are going to win handily. That could be a factor that changes things.
Yeah, well, my hope is once he took the clause out of his contract that he had to watch 4 hours of film a day, maybe he stopped watching film and maybe he actually won't be prepared for the game, right? Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, my goodness, that a guy has to have in a almost a quarter of a billion dollar contract, he's got to have a clause in there that he has to watch a certain amount of film. I mean, no quarterback I ever played with didn't. And, that's how they got great. And, that's just very interesting how that whole, kind of died down a little bit. It was news for a little while, for a hot minute, but, still something I think about every time I think about this team and as the Chiefs have been approaching this opening game against them and thinking about that mega contract. And I can't believe it actually had that in there. That
It's
just was just bizarre.
so nuts. And then they both the team and Kyler said, oh, I study hard. The team said there's no concerns. But as you said, on the Border Patrol, the A-10 spot, when there's smoke, there's fire. And whatever the Cardinals' motivation, like it was in there. Maybe they did that in there because they thought it would get to the press and that would further motivate them or whatever. Like it's really, really weird and really unusual to have that clause. So it means something.
Yeah.
And that clause might be also why I'm a little bit down on the Cardinals too, as I'm, this is a big prove it year for Kyler. They've gotten off to hot starts the last couple of years and kind of collapsed down the stretch. He's been injured, hasn't played as well. So there's a lot of pressure on him for this year and, starting with this game.
Yeah, no, it's he's a key for them, right? He's the big key. On all the things that you had said, which were great, that's great commentary about how they are a little banged up. They just didn't do enough. I mean, that's last year they were rocking and rolling,
They had the best
when
record in the league for a good portion, like, three-fourths or halfway through the season.
Yeah. And I think, he's really the key to this game. He's the integral piece. And if they can shut him down, I think I know for a fact we're gonna get into those double digit, leads and possibly the double digit lead or double digit win that you're talking about, that you're high on. So I totally think that could happen. But hey, listen, it's opening day. I mean, my gosh. I mean, we talked about this before. We just didn't. You just no player has played probably more than, I don't know, 20, 30 plays. That's going to be out there on the field. And Jeff, that's not a lot, man. That's not a lot of plays to get ready for a real game. I mean, I'm going to be really anxious to see how the team looks in the fourth quarter. After getting banged
Conditioning could
around.
play a role. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored, two explosive offenses. You're right. Like that could be a factor.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be Arizona Heat, right? So you're gonna have the Heat to contend with, and it's a different thing when you play 65, 70 plays in a game and you haven't done it, especially with the amount of contact on play in and play out. It's gonna wear on some guys, by the time they get to the fourth quarter that haven't, especially the rookies, that really haven't, they're coming off of college, and now all of a sudden, the guys are bigger, faster, a little stronger across the board, and they're going to have to be dealing with some size coming at them and wearing on them for the whole game. And God, to go 60 plays, 70 plays, it's a conditioning that you only get by doing it. You can run all the wind sprints you want, you can do all the interval training you want, but until 250, 300-pound guys are beating on you for 60 or 70 plays, there's no conditioning for that other than actually playing a game. So I'll be really anxious to see guys at towards the end of the game, especially if they get rolling, and it gets to be, where it's fast-paced. I'll be anxious to see if there's a lot of guys with hands on knees.
Maybe some guys cramping up too. Joe, one last note on this game. It's being played at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. site of Super Bowl 57. So maybe the Chiefs can begin and end the year in that stadium. That would be something.
Yeah, that would be to bookend the season with that would be fantastic. It'd be great foreshadowing, Jeff. I look forward to that. Maybe they can. We had a very similar situation in 95, right? When we went 13-3 and we had home field throughout. We played the Cardinals in Arizona, site of the Super Bowl. We were thinking when we were there, let's get back here. And we thought we were going to when we were 13-3. Albeit the dreaded Colts got in our way, but yeah, so it's a little bit of a little kind of flashback for me in that regard.
Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.